Hello there, this is Terry Lodge here from the American Security Project. We're an organization that looks at national security issues of import from a nonpartisan perspective. With us today is John Isaacs. John's going to discuss the National Defense Authorization Act. John is the director of the Council for Liberal World, actually I think he's the president, and the Center for Arms Control and Nonproliferation. He has represented the Center on Capitol Hill since 1978 and previously served as assistant on foreign affairs and legislative representative on foreign policy and the defense budget and a foreign service officer in Vietnam. We're happy to have John here today. He has done a lot of work on these amendments coming up on the floor on the Defense Act today. And John, what do you think is of most import today on the floor?
Well, let me just say a brief background. When the Senate considers the Defense Authorization Bill, it's an opportunity for individual senators to grapple with a lot of national security issues, some very much defense budget related, but also some foreign policy issues. For example, today the Senate, for the first time in 11 years for either the House or Senate, voted for an accelerated withdrawal from Afghanistan. It was a vote 62-33 for an amendment by Senator Jeff Merkley. There have been a couple other amendments related to nuclear weapons issues, where those who want to make sure that the nuclear triad, the land-based missiles, sea-based missiles, and bombers are all kept, offer non-binding amendments, but basically trying to keep the nuclear weapons triad going. There have been a couple votes on related to environmental issues. Pentagon actually has been a big investor in alternate fuels like biofuels. The Senate Armed Services Committee voted narrowly earlier this year to block any new research and any spending on that. But in a couple votes today and yesterday, the Senate reversed that and now is willing to spend that money. There are other amendments that are still coming up, probably today or tomorrow. We're dealing with detainees at Guantanamo Bay, Palestinian support after the United Nations is supposed to vote on upgrading the status of the Palestinian of Palestine, and many other issues.
Thank you. What's the meaning of this amendment? Kit reuse. Does that mean we're going to be making new weapons or we're spending more money in view of today's financial difficulties? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I'm sorry, part of your question was there was a brief pause and I didn't hear the beginning part of the question.
I'm sorry. A little bit more about the amendment to reuse pits in nuclear weapons.
That amendment has not been offered. Senator John Kyle, the outgoing Republican senator from Arizona, has an amendment to study the reuse of plutonium pits, the core of nuclear weapons. But he's offered this amendment with various barbs in it, if you can use that term, which might, I think the senator really wants to build new nuclear weapons and wants to see if there are maybe advantages but maybe disadvantages to using some of the old nuclear weapons. That amendment he's introduced with Senator Tom Udall of New Mexico, but it has not been voted on. I mean, the defense bill is also an opportunity for people to push their various interests, whether it's land-based missiles in Montana or nuclear weapons spending in New Mexico or C-23 aircraft in Alaska. And that's the kind of thing that gets put on this defense authorization bill.
I see. I also am aware of an amendment that would allow the Senate and various committees to participate in arms control negotiations and other negotiations. Do you think that will pass?
That's a slight overstatement. Senator Kyle has an amendment to get the Senate much more involved in these negotiations, not necessarily to negotiate, but to know what's going on and probably an ability, if they want, to stop what's going on. Senator Kyle was all set to offer the amendment this morning, but he's first negotiating with the chairman and ranking members of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Senator John Kerry of Massachusetts, Senator Bob Corker of Tennessee. So I suspect that amendment, as designed by Senator Kyle, will be changed before it's offered. But Kyle wanted additional briefings and consultations on these various arms control issues, and it had a kind of a sense of the Senate that any major change in or reductions in nuclear weapons or any missile defense work with Russia would have to come to the Senate in the form of a treaty, which, of course, requires a two-thirds vote. So if his amendment were adopted as he originally wrote it, it would be a problem. I suspect it'll be weakened before it actually comes to any conclusion in the Senate.
Well, thank you. What's next for the defense bill? When do you think it'll be completed, and what are the next steps?
This defense bill, as I said, has been intended to be the vehicle for consideration of a lot of national security issues. This year, Majority Leader Harry Reid said no more than 3 days for the bill. Essentially, the bill came up Wednesday, the 28th. Today's the second day for serious consideration of amendments. I think is the hope of the chairman of the committee, Senator Carl Levin of Michigan, and the ranking Republican on the Armed Services Committee, Senator John McCain of Arizona, is to finish the bill maybe late tonight, and late tonight could be 11, 12, midnight, 1 a.m., or tomorrow. But I suspect they will finish this week and will not go into next week. But there still is there's about a month to go in this session of Congress, 2 weeks to a month before Christmas, before the lame duck is over. And whatever happens with this bill, the Senate and the House have to come together with two different versions of the bill and negotiate compromise on a lot of issues. So they don't have much time, even if they finish the bill tonight or tomorrow.
I see. One of the more curious elements of the floor fight on the defense bill has been this amendment, third missile defense site on the East Coast. Where on the East Coast do they want to build a missile defense system, and why do they want to build it, and should we build it?
This is an idea that some people have been pushing in the House and now in the Senate, and some experts who feel we have a national missile defense system based in Alaska and California that might protect the western half of the country from attacks from North Korea, but the East Coast is quote-unquote defenseless against a possible missile attack from Iran if they ever develop nuclear weapons and if they develop a long-range missile that could hit the United States. So the House actually offered adopted a provision earlier on the same bill, defense authorization bill, to require a deployment of a missile defense system on the East Coast, perhaps in New York near Fort Drum, perhaps in the state of Maine. But this provision makes no sense because there's no way that even if Congress voted to move ahead with the system, nothing would happen in 3 years. Nothing ever happens in 3 years that the Pentagon's involved in. Senator Ayotte of New Hampshire offered an amendment to launch a study of three different sites. Again, Maine and New York. I'm not sure where the third site might be. She ultimately withdrew the amendment today because I think in part because she thought she might be defeated, that Senator Carl Levin was going to oppose the amendment and might have defeated that. So it's really doubling down. The missile defense system in Alaska and California that's already been deployed is pretty ineffective. It's not clear it'll work against any incoming missiles or many incoming missiles. And a system that even works 50% of the time might be fine for the Israelis when they're talking about conventional warheads being attacking. But if you're talking about nuclear bombs raining down from North Korea or Iran, 50% of, let's say, 20 attacking warheads means 10 nuclear bombs could hit 10 American cities, and it'd be disaster. So the system on the West Coast is pretty much ineffective, and the system on the East Coast would be doubling down to have an ineffective defense of the East Coast and the West Coast.
I see. That makes more sense. Well, thank you, John. We really appreciate your insights. Thank you again.
Glad to do it.
Thank you.